Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. Today is September 11th, 2012. We'll raise our glass to that very tragic day, 9/11. We're here with some very cool people from the New York City beer scene, and we've got some announcements to make. For the last 4 years, the New York City Craft Beer Week was in September, and some changes have happened. The founder, Josh Schaffner, has moved on, and there's a group called the New York City Brewers Guild, which is composed of the main breweries in New York, like Brooklyn Brewery, Six Point, Chelsea, and some others, and Kelso and the Bronx Brewery. And they've taken over the week, and they're calling it now New York City Beer Week, and it will move to February 2013, so it'll be an annual winter event. We're really looking forward to that event in the winter in New York, and all the great events, including New York City's Brewers' Choice, City Winery. But to kind of kick everything off and let people know what's going on, there's Freaktoberfest coming up on, when is it? Is it this weekend, guys?
15th.
It is, September 15th.
Saturday, September 15th. So Patrick Fondouillet from Smutty Nose, he's one of the founders of Freaktoberfest. He's here with his buddies. We got Tim Trainer, who works for Founders.
How you doing?
And our new guy, Albert Antonucci, from Greenwood Park, which is the location of Freaktoberfest. And he's also it's a massive beer garden. We'll talk about all these things on the show tonight. But first, Patrick, let's say hello. You opened Smutty Nose for us. What are we drinking?
How are you? My name is Pat Fondola. I'm from Smutty Nose Brewing Company. And the first beer that we're drinking here is called Wunderbar Pilsner. The beers that I brought today are the four beers that we're going to be sampling at Freaktoberfest this weekend on Saturday. This is a German-style Pilsner. It's a very classic German-style Pilsner. All German malt. It's got a little bit of acidulated malt in it, which has a tiny bit of lacto. And it, you know, which gives it a little sprightly finish. And it's finished with all German or Czech style.
So it's the Wunderbar with the V. Wunderbar.
Wunderbar means wonderful in German.
Tim Trainer, you work for Founders and Union Beer. Tell us more about what you do, because I think you're a pretty good beer guy.
Actually, formerly of SKI Beer, but you know, another great distributor in the city here. And what was the question?
Ron is warming up, getting
had too much of the pills so far here today.
The Wunderbar. Yeah, what do you think of this beer?
I like it, and I could detect that little sprightliness you referred to there, the lacto element to that, in the same way you would have from a Berliner Weiss, right?
Well, not really that. Okay. That sour. We're gonna do. I actually brought a Berliner Weiss, so we're gonna taste in a little bit. It's our newest short batch, but this is more like a really classic, like German style Pilsner, and the hopping is a little more floral than it is bitter to me, and I think you pick that up a little bit.
It's a little spritzy too, like,
yeah,
just, like carbonation.
Spritzy, I think the little
effervescent, yeah, yeah, right,
yeah. Yeah, and Alberto, so you're the owner of, I said you wouldn't speak, but now you're the most interesting story. This guy was on Wall Street, and now he's the owner of Greenwood Park, the massive beer garden.
One of the owners.
And they say that they won't let strollers in anymore, so, which is actually pretty good policy if you're serving a lot of drinks. What do you think about that? Do you think that kids and strollers should be allowed into bars and clubs and things?
Personally, no, but, I mean, I guess during the day, it's fine. I just don't agree with them being there on like a later, like at night. I mean, they really, I don't think kids should be in a bar like past a certain time.
But. And Patrick, you're a dad. What do you think about that?
I'm fully for the nose stroller rule. In fact, I actually worked, before I started working for Smutty Nose, I worked at the Gate in Park Slope in Brooklyn, which has a big outdoor space, and we always had this problem with people bringing strollers in, you know, because we were open in the daytime, and we instituted the same policy. Like, you can't bring the strollers in. I mean, you have people, like, parking them everywhere. You couldn't walk anywhere. And I agree with Albert. Like, you know, I have no problem with people bringing their kids to bars. I bring my kid there all the time, but in the daytime. You know, you don't want them running around at 8 o'clock at night.
Not only that, it's not the kids are to blame for it. I mean, the kids are kids, but the parents just let their kids just tear up the place. Like, they don't watch their kids, so, I mean, it's more the parents.
All right. Well, Greenwood Park. You know, there's so many great new places opening in New York, and I do feel that the Craft Beer Week... I don't know if the craft beer movement was happening and New York Craft Beer Week, they all went hand in hand, but I definitely feel like that from when New York Craft Beer Week first started in, I think it was 2009, I feel like the city's really changed. There's a lot more places like yours, you know, beer gardens and many more new craft beer bars. Tim, what do you think? You've been doing this for a few years. Do you think the Craft Beer Week influenced you know, people in New York to open more craft beer bars and beer gardens?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Craft Beer Week, among, you know, other things, like a lot of, you know, it's hard to, you know, pick up a new media magazine these days that's local without, you know, reading an article or finding some article about craft beer. You know, by the same token, any new restaurant that opens up, or you read, you know, that's opening up in Manhattan or Brooklyn or Queens or other areas, all kind of makes reference to the fact that they have a great, you know, selection of craft beer or local beers or anything like that. So it's kind of cool to see. I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious that there's a, like, kind of a, almost like a, it seems like a nationwide movement going on towards craft beer, and that's, you know, reflected in, you know, darker corners of the world, like Michigan and Wisconsin and places like that.
Well, again, New York Craft Beer Week will be called New York City Beer Week, and it's moving to February 2013. It'll be a winter thing. So, Freaktoberfest.
Yeah.
Coming up. Patrick, what is Freaktoberfest? It sounds like a Coney Island thing.
Well,
I've never been to it.
It's Freaktoberfest is a beer festival that we started about 5 years ago. And when I say we, I mean myself, Jeremy Cowan from Hebrew Coney Island, and Mikey Palms, who used to own Southpaw, which is now closed, and is part owner of Public Assembly here in Williamsburg. And my idea was a reaction to going up to Extreme Beer Fest up in Boston and meeting the Alstrom brothers for the first time. And when I walked in, they handed me a piece of paper, and it said the first line on top of the paper said, "Don't get drunk." So I was like, these guys are throwing an Extreme Beer Fest, and they're telling me not to get drunk at their beer fest. You know, I paid for a hotel. I paid for a train to get up here. So I was like, I'm going back to Brooklyn, and I'm going to throw the Mardi Gras beer festivals, you know. And I went down to Beer Craft, and I discussed the idea with Ben Granger, who's, you know, one of the owners of Beer Craft. And we decided that we were going to start scouting for places to throw a beer fest in Brooklyn. And as we were walking around one day looking for places, we ran into Matt Polacek from Hebrew, from Schmaltz, and we were telling him our idea, and he was like, "That's really great. You should use the name of our beer, Freaktoberfest." And we were like, "That's an awesome idea." And then, so we brought Matt and Jeremy in. This is right at the beginning, and ever since then, we've been working on it. So the first one was in 2007. We did it out in Coney Island, and we put it together in about 3 weeks. And, it was, considering we did it in such a short period of time, it was a very good success. And then, you know, we started building on it. We've moved it around every year. We did the second year at Public Assembly. The third year we did at the Rock Shop over in Park Slope. And last year we did at Southpaw. This year we're moving it to Greenwood Park. And hopefully it's going to be a great day.
Wow. Well, the poster here, so it's what, freaktoberfest.com? Is that the... where to find more information?
Yeah, if you go to freaktoberfest.com, that'll redirect you to the site where you can read all about it. You can see the breweries. I was hoping to get all the breweries and beers up today before the show started, but I wound up running around and working all day. But as soon as the show is over, I'm going to go home and put all the beers that all the breweries are bringing up. We have about 40 breweries. There's Burlesque. We have three.
It's a
really
pretty solid list of breweries. I mean, you can read off from the card.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Tell us who's coming.
I handpicked all the breweries, and actually, I think I wrote down, if I can find it, a list of some of the beers at least that are going to be there. But we have these really great bands that are playing.
See, I didn't know. I always thought it was only Coney Island Schmaltz Hebrew beers. I didn't know it was a real beer fest.
Oh, no, totally. But, I mean, yeah, I'll go through the list here a little bit if I can read it. Six Point, Kelso, Brooklyn, Greenport Harbor. These are all the New York brewers that are part of the New York Craft Brewers Guild that was newly formed, as you were talking about before. You know, of course, Schmaltz and Hebrew and Coney Island. Smutty Nose, Lagunitas, Victory, Elysian, Green Flash, the Bronx Brewery. I could go on and on and on.
Go through the list. Come on. You're on there.
You know, I'm having problems reading it, which is a problem. It's so
you
tiny.
Want me to take over?
Left Hand, Allagas.
Let him finish reading it.
21st can. Amendment, Sierra Nevada, Nebraska, Dogfish Head,
the brewery,
Ballast
too.
Point, Two Brothers, Stillwater, Empire, Peak. Yeah, now it's getting dicey. Anyway, I'll have this out. Yeah,
it's pretty good. You just. I always thought Freaktoberfest was just Coney Island Schmaltz Hebrew beers. I had no idea it was this real full range of
beers. Yeah,
beer
and there's many, many more, man. Whenever you start reading off a list, you're always going to forget so many, and they're going to be like,
Founders?
Why didn't you mention my brewery?
I can't believe you didn't talk about Founders. Right, let's open another beer. What's your second beer?
All right, these, like I said before, let's these right are the here. Four beers that we're going to be sampling this weekend. This is our Pumpkin Ale. This is, believe it or not, is our fourth biggest brand in our portfolio. We sell a ton of this beer, and it's a pale ale pumpkin, which is kind of unique. I think most of them tend to live in the malt realm, and this is a more hop forward beer.
Tell us about Smutty Nose.
That's easy to drink, Smutty Nose.
Yeah, so how long has it been around? Who founded it?
Smutty Nose has been around for, I think this is our 20th year, if I'm not mistaken. Peter Eggleston is the owner of Smutty Nose, along with his life partner, Joanne Francis. They started out, Peter was a high school English teacher at Sarah J. Hell here in Brooklyn in the 70s and 80s. And his sister, Janet, started a brew pub in Northampton, Mass., a Northampton brew pub. And she, at some point along the line, I guess, asked him to come and help her out. So he went up there and he became the brewer for Northampton. And then a few years later, they opened the Portsmouth Brewery in the middle of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And a few years after that, they placed a bid on a defunct brewery. And, you know, Peter lowballed it and wound up winning the bid for the brewery. So that's where Smutty was born. Smutty Nose is an island off the coast of New Hampshire. There's an archipelago of islands called the Isles of Shoals, and which is what our pale ale name comes from, Shoals Pale Ale. There's also Star Island, which is our Star Island single. Those are islands on the chain, but Smutty Nose is one of the islands. And I've heard a million different stories about like where the name comes from. Smutty is an old English word that means dirty. And I've heard people have told me that, like, if you come in from the ocean, you see the archipelago, and there's a big island next to Smutty called Pig Island, and it's devoid of any vegetation, but Smutty Nose has a bunch of vegetation, so it's a dirty nose of the seal because it looks like a seal in the water. It's also one other thing I know about it is it's an old pirate island. It was like a Blackbeard's island, and he was kind of holed up there a little bit. And he was working for, I believe, the British Royal Navy. And he was scuttling ships for them and then got greedy and wound up, you know, pissing them off. And they came after him, chased him down. They just recently found his ship off the coast of North Carolina. But, yeah, we've been around for 20 years. As I said earlier, I worked for the Gate in Park Slope for 12 years, and I decided that I wanted to get into a job. I have a 3-year-old daughter. When she was born, I decided I wanted to get a job. So I made a list of my five favorite breweries that were available in our market, and Smutty Nose was actually my number one choice.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. I I decided to go with them because that, you know, in my opinion, they don't make a bad beer. I feel like some, I feel like in some ways they're a little bit underrated. I really believe in the brand. So.
Well, sometimes a beer needs a good rep, and I feel like that since you've been the rep, it's, you know, its profiles come up. I met Dave, who's the brewer, Dave Yarrington?
Yarrington, he was yeah, there
we had,
a few weeks
we ago. We had a great time with him,
yeah.
And we all went out to dinner in New York. You know, so it looks like you're working hard and doing more for the brand. I like it. This pumpkin ale is really good.
It's thing about this pumpkin is really, really easy to drink. You know, it's like I said before, it's a top forward.
What's the ABV on this?
It's low. It's like it's a little over six.
Okay.
Alberto, at Greenwood Park, you have a lot of taps.
Yes.
How many taps do you have?
We have 24. We have actually 60 taps, but it's 24 different beers. So we have the main bar, which has 24 beers, and the outside bar has 24 taps, but only 12 beer.
And then, do you like beer a lot?
Yes.
So what are some of the beers you have on right now that you'd recommend?
I gotta say, Smutty's Finest IPA.
Smutty Knows IPA. All right. Okay.
No,
like well, that's gonna be a segue.
No, we have a lot. We have a bunch. I mean, they're awesome. We're actually putting this Smutty Pumpkin is coming on. The beer we're gonna be trying later, the Founder's Breakfast Stout. We'll be putting that on within the next week or so once it comes out. But we have like Stone. We have a lot of good brews.
All right. We'll take a segue here. Hold on a second. I'm gonna take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Yeah. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Check out goodbeerseal.com. We support a lot of craft beer in New York City. We had a great event this weekend, Barrels and Kegs at Rockaway Beach. It's some great breweries out there, including Founders. Tim, you're the Founders rep in New York. You're really working with a great brewery. So tell us, we've been talking about New York City Beer Week and Freaktoberfest coming up. Now let's talk about Founders and Michigan.
Founders is a great little brewery in the great city of Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is on the western part of the state. Started by two college friends, Mike Stevens and Dave Engbers, back in 1997. They had steady jobs, and they decided to abandon that because of their love of craft beer and start their own brewery, take out some massive loans, and try to make a go of it. And that was back in 97. Around 2001, they got a call up from their bank, and they said, "All right, guys, made a good go of it, but if you don't come up with another loan or some more money by Monday, we're going to have to padlock your brewery and take the whole dream away." And that was during a time where they had basically been trying to do beers that were brewed by the status quo. Not really do anything too exciting, but do it from more of like a, you know, business side, more of a marketing, advertising stand, I'm assuming. But, you know, something that would be more appeal to the mainstream, and that really wasn't going anywhere. So it's at that point where they called in some favors and got some more dough, and they decided to do something that they felt was relatively unorthodox. So they decided to brew beers basically that they liked, you know, more interesting beers, and see, they tried everything else up to that point and see how that went. And it worked. And that's around 2001 when they decided to launch with their first beer that they really became known for, which is the Dirty Bastard Scotch Ale. It's 8.5% Scotch Ale, brewed with seven different imported Scottish malts and a couple different hops to give it up to about 50 IBUs.
I like a lot of the Founders beers. When did they first come to New York?
first came to New York a few years ago, and they launched it with Draft, and then kind of made their presence, you know, and you know, a lot of great beer, you know, people, beer geeks and people like that have been waiting for the brand to show up, so pretty excited, and kind of made the run of the beer bars. And as time went on, their popularity and their notoriety has increased exponentially, and we've had to increase the production commensurate with that. So it's basically, over the past 4 years, it's pretty much doubled every year. And we expanded. We started out with just a 30-barrel system. That's up to about a 115-barrel system now. They still use the old system for batches and things. And they do a lot of brewing, actually, at their tap room. Now, in Grand Rapids, where the brewery is located, one of the main attractions for southeastern Michiganders is the Founders Tap Room. It's actually the third most amount of draft beer sales in the entire state. So number one is the Joe Louis Arena, the Red Wings hockey stadium. Number two is the Detroit Metro Airport, which has about 60-odd restaurants to it. So they brew the third most amount. So that's more than Ford Field, where the Lions play.
Well, are you from Michigan?
No, I'm actually
originally you sound like you're from Michigan.
Wisconsin, but that Midwestern nasal thing kind of comes through, that Fargo accent. But, no, I still...
But you're American, right?
Yeah, that means American. Yeah, not from up north. But, yeah, so that's a great attraction about Founders is if you get the chance, you know, we do live music at the tap room 3 nights a week. We've got a big beer and music festival that happens every summer called Founders Fest. It happened this last July. I believe we went through about 23,560 pints of beer. So, and I think about 5,500 people. So it was about average 4 pints per guy.
So as a rep in New York, do you get to go to Grand Rapids and visit the brewery?
I go back for quarterly, yeah, just to check in with headquarters. And I did go back for the festival this year. It was a great time.
I like a lot of your beers. I'll always be out, and if I see Founders like Centennial IPA or the Red Rye, I'm always happy and I'll drink it. My favorite beer that you guys make, and which most of you haven't had, is your Harvest Fresh Hop Ale. I'm nuts. This time of year, forget pumpkin for me. It's a Harvest Fresh Hop.
Yeah, I'm with
and last
you on
year,
that
the Founder, the Founders Fresh Hop was by far the best, and I only got one keg. Are those coming out now?
Yeah, they're going to be coming out sometime in October. I haven't gotten the official date yet, but I should be around mid-October, and the reason why you only got one keg is pretty much because they don't make that much of it. And what we get, the liquid that we're allocated, we'd usually do in sixtels in the past. Now, we just invested some money in our own keg fleet, and we changed the size. So you're going to be getting a little bit more this year in that one keg, which is going to be up to 30-liter kegs.
All right.
But the hops that we use in that beer are, I believe, Amarillo and Cascade. And that's really what you get, that really juicy, resiny, kind of piney scent off that beer. When that's fresh, those fresh hops are put right into the boil, and then also at the end during fermentation for dry hopping, you really get that nice, you know, almost weed like aroma coming off of there, and I'm sure that's, you know, adds to your enjoyment of the beer.
You know, in New York City, I don't know if you feel this way, but a lot of people think that when you're a beer rep, you're living the dream. How did you get involved in this?
Well, I did my kind of a little bit of good luck, and
that was a pretty funny question.
That was great.
Cheers! I'll drink to that. Yeah. So a lot of people ask me that question, and what I say as an answer is that there are a lot of opportunities now with a lot of new breweries opening up to get involved in the industry. I've actually gotten a lot of friends hired in the beer industry, whether it's sneaking them into beer festivals as pourers for SKI beer, or, you know, just bringing them in on recommendations or from somebody else. But yeah, basically, I was in the right place at the right time. I worked for SKI Beer in Upper Manhattan for about 2 years, working with great accounts like George Keeley, Bronx Ale House, and the Dive Bars, and then went down to the Lower West Side after that, and then was working with the Blind Tiger and guys like that, and Rabbit Club. And then I offer, you know... about three and a half, almost four years of you know, trying to figure out foamy kegs and collecting money and things like that. All the great things you have to do as, you know, part of working for a beer distributor. I said, okay, I did a good job for you guys. I'd love to be able to do something, you know, kind of evolve the position a little bit. And they had just started a brand rep program at SKI. So I went to them and I said, you know, the only brand, the main brand, my number one choice, like you, Pat, with Smutty Nose, was working with Founders. It was my favorite brewery.
That's really cool. Yeah. Founders was on my short list, too.
Yeah. I mean, and as soon as they came to town, I was like blown away. And my favorite beer at the when I first tried everything was Double Trouble. And that was that's our double IPA, one of our specialty beers. So I had fortunately established a relationship with the national sales manager, Michael Bell, on his trips out to New York to do ride-alongs. And I'm thinking maybe it was after we did a beer dinner one night at West Third Common, and I said, he was trying to go home. I was like, no, I got to take you to one more place. I got to take you to the Rabbit Club, because we were in the West Village, so right around the corner. And awesome place. Give a little shout out to Drew there. But yeah, he's like,
killer,
you know, he's great, good, little good bar on McDougal Street. Yeah. Yeah, he is part of the Good Beer Seal, right? And we went down there, and I got, you know, Michael some, you know, some great sour, you know, beer, and we just kind of broed down. So I did the groundwork. And
awesome. We're talking remembered. About sour. Patrick, what's this beer I'm drinking right now?
It's this, like, is a Berliner Weiss. This is the latest short batch from Smutty Nose. It's called Strawberry Short Weiss. It's a Berliner Weiss. It's about 3.5%, a little bit higher than 3.5%. German style, and, you know, another German style. And it is it has lactobacillus in it, so right. It gives it a really really tangy, so sour.
Your brewer, Dave Arrington's the head brewer at Smutty Nose.
Dave's the guy. He's our director of brewing operations. So he's the guy that creates all the recipes. And then
so he worked on this special batch.
Oh yeah.
So all the small batch. What are some of the other small batches that you're making?
The recent ones that we had to come down, we had a rye IPA that just came through, which was a play on our Finest Kind IPA. Basically, they took some of the malt bill out and they replaced it with rye, and then they quadruple dry hopped it with Simcoe and Amarillo's. And then before that, he did a mushroom beer for James.
I heard about that beer.
James Beard nominated beer? Chef at a place called the Black Trumpet up in Portsmouth. They used Black Trumpet mushrooms, some of which I think were like foraged by the brewers from Portsmouth and Smutty. They actually went out into the woods and foraged the mushrooms, and then whatever they needed for the rest of the recipe, they bought. But it was a really fantastic, like Imperial American Porter made with mushrooms, and it was really awesome. I had a growler of it. This is actually funny, in my refrigerator, and my roommate works for Sierra Nevada, and he came into my room the other day, and he's like, dude, I took that growler out and I put it on top of the fridge, and it exploded. I was like, bummer. That's cool, you know, whatever.
What kind of flavor did the mushroom add to the beer?
You know, when you hear the word mushroom, yeah. It's like, I'm kind of like, I don't know about that. But, like, drinking it, it was absolutely fantastic. It gave it this kind of creamy, earthy flavor to it. Kind of similar to, you know, a flavor that barrel aging gives beer sometimes, you know.
But not magic mushrooms.
Yeah.
No. Years ago, a friend from Poland, he brought me like a homemade, like, you know, homemade liquor that had been made with, you know, forest herbs. And I swear to God, there were like magic mushrooms thrown into that.
Yeah, you know.
Because I had a good buzz.
I know some people who foray into that realm, but that's for another show.
Well, that's for the home distilling show next week. Yeah. Hey, we another guest walked in. I'll just give you a little background.
Maddie
Polacek. So Matt is. It says the striking artwork for Coney Island Lagers is the creation of Schmalt art director Matt Polacek. So Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks
so,
for having me.
You're a graphic designer.
I am.
So
I am.
How did you ever start working with Coney Island Lagers?
Well, I started working with Jeremy back in 2003. He went to college with a really good friend of mine from Wisconsin. Another shout out to Wisconsin.
What's up?
And when he moved all his production from California to New York, he decided to repackaged the Genesis and Messiah into six packs and needed somebody to help him with web presence and the start of what really kind of kicked Hebrew off big time, which was Extreme Brewing at the time. And so my first big design project was the first Jubilation beer, which was Miraculous Jubilation. It was 8th anniversary beer, 8 malts, 8 hops, 8%. And from then on, I've designed every single thing for Hebrew and Coney Island. So, man, it must be in the 30s now of beers that I've
Let me ask you, I got confused because there's so many different identities. There's Coney Island, there's Schmaltz, and there's Hebrew.
Schmaltz Brewing is the overarching brand, overarching company, and then Hebrew is one brand of craft ales, and then Coney Island is craft lagers. So both us.
So there's a clean line, and Hebrew might have yeah. a stronger limited thing.
Hebrew has, yeah, Hebrew, the Coney Island craft lagers were designed much more as a as sessionable beers to be, you know, consumed on the boardwalk in summer, and the Hebrew beers have always been way more creative in recipe and much higher in alcohol and a little more experimental. Although the Coney Islands are still experimental, but much more sessionable than the Hebrew beers.
A lot of people know the Coney Island logos. There's some cool ones, the Sword Swallower. Where did you get the inspiration for those?
Yeah, well, we the first one we did was the Coney Island Lager, and that was taken from the Tilly Face, you know, that's been around in Coney Island for 100 years, and just wanted to put a cool modern spin on it and make it, you know, freshen it up. And then the Performer series were all based on performers at Coney Island. Heather was the Sword Swallower, Donnie is the Human Blockhead, Stephanie is the...
They're real people.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, real people. Yep.
And you'll, will they you'll be see at some of them at Freaktoberfest.
Who will be at Freaktoberfest? Yeah, absolutely. Donnie Vomit, the Human Blockhead, is the MC extraordinaire.
So what's the Human Blockhead?
He pounds a 5-inch 30-penny nail into his face.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, drills a big masonry bit
drill
into
is
his head.
One,
yeah. He does all kinds of tricks. But yeah, he's a great guy.
Wow. Yeah. All that for $60. That's pretty
yeah,
good.
Baby. Yeah, baby.
It's a Freaktoberfest. Alberto, get on. You're the, see, he was the guy who wasn't going to talk, but he's going to talk the most. So great. So you're hosting Freaktoberfest.
Yes, we are.
On Saturday. Get the microphone in front of you. You know, tell us what preparations you're going through. You know, are you turning over the entire operation?
Yeah, turn over everything to the guys that are running Freaktoberfest, Pat right here. Basically, you're taking over all our lines, correct?
Yeah, we're actually going to utilize all the lines. And
so you're going to run through the existing draft system?
Yeah, we'll have that going on for some brands, and then other brands will be outside with jockey boxes. And
then after the festival ends, we're basically going to do a $4 mystery beer for the rest of the night to run through all the beers that were left over from the festival, which would be pretty cool.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Instead of like announcing it, I mean, you're getting a $4 mystery beer, and every beer is going to be a great beer.
You know what we could do is we could print up cards and have people like have all the beer geeks like guess what the beer is when you put it.
I love that idea. I've actually thought about doing that for a promo before, like for Founders, and I do like 10 lines. Nobody has any idea what the beers are.
Yeah, let's see how good.
No handles.
Yeah, we have all the extra beer left there. We have it's ours to like get rid of. So instead of like keep changing the name, we're gonna do a $4 mystery beer throughout the night. So
that'll be fun.
Just changing the beers and that's it. I mean, you're guaranteed to get a great beer. So, I mean,
wow, this is a wild event. So it's like in the afternoon. So in the evening, can we still go to Freaktoberfest and keep drinking, or we're just going to drink?
Well, I mean, the idea. Hopefully, we've done this in the daytime before, and they had kind of a distinct day and night thing. What I'm hoping that happens this year is that you come in, you do the party for the 5 hours, and then we seamlessly move from that to the bar being open, so that everybody hangs out. One of the advantages of this place, of doing it at Greenwood Park this year, is it's so much bigger than any of the other places we've ever done it in. You know,
yeah.
Usually it's like so tight, and then you have a nighttime crowd coming in, and there's more people coming in. So
Freaktoberfest this Saturday in New York, and also you guys are going to announce that the New York Craft Beer Week's moving to the winter too, right? Isn't that part of what Jeremy's doing, Jeremy from Schmaltz?
Yeah, Matt can talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. So with the creation of the New York City Craft Brewers Guild, the guild has taken over Beer Week. And so it used to be, you know, Freaktoberfest was the kickoff for it. But it's such a crazy busy time of year that we decided, the guild decided that, you know, February would be a much better time to hold Beer Week. Because there's just, you know, not as much going on
after the Super Bowl. That's the big thing. Yeah.
After the Packers win the Super Bowl, then we'll...
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
The
what?
Got to get by the Giants.
Okay, let's do a quick... Okay,
the Cowboys. Cowboys.
Okay, if you have your favorite... Think of your favorite football team. Then tell me your favorite brewery that is close to that football team. How's that?
Packers, Nuclearis.
Nuclearis.
Interesting. The Giants.
Who's in Dallas?
You gotta say a brand.
That's tough, man.
You gotta say a brewery.
I can't do that.
You gotta do it, man.
No, man. No.
Come on. Pick one.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Schmaltz.
All right, Alberta.
I'm a Cowboy fan. I don't know.
You don't know any Texas beers?
No.
Shiner?
Yeah, Shiner.
Shiner?
I'll go Shiner.
All right, okay. Tim, what about you?
Well, I got to go with the Point Brewing Company out of Stevens Point, being a Packer fan. And that's one of the other brands I represent here in New York City.
All right, cool.
The Pack.
Can't give mine away.
Yeah, dude, that's not good, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, it's New England. So I would say for New England these days, you know my favorite brewery? It's Wandering Star.
Boo.
Oh, you know, I'm a Massachusetts guy. And Smutty Nose. Okay.
It's not
you know
Smutty?
Smutty Nose. You're going to drink Smutty Nose at the Patriots game, guys.
Yeah.
You can, actually. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Hey. You know, this is. I am always privileged to be in a room with these great guys in beer. We've got Tim Trainer, represents Founders. We've got Alberto from Greenwood Park. Matt, who's the designer behind all the crazy Coney Island and Hebrew labels. And I bet probably more things, too. You know?
He's also, I have to say that Matt is one of the original like founders of this festival, of the Freaktoberfest Festival. In fact, I spoke to Matt like when I was telling the story before about running into him on the street when Ben and I were out scouting for places to the first one. About a week after we came up with the idea, and that's how the whole thing got started, because I ran into Matt, you know, and he was like, yeah, let's get together and do this.
Good one. All right, well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio, and we'll learn more about how Freaktoberfest got started.
All right.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Out at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm looking forward to having pizza. And, you know, there's a really great menu out here. Our good friend Ray Dieter, who was the co-host with me, who passed away, he would always get the steak for two, which was $92. But five of us could eat it, and the sweetbreads. So, you know, hopefully you guys will get a chance to hang out. And when we have the show, we do our show. We first meet at the bar at Roberta's. We have a beer. We come on the show. We all share beers. We've had some great Somebody Knows beers. We're going to try some Hebrew beers and Founders. And then afterwards, we'll have dinner and down hang out and drink more beers. So
down for pizza.
This is the best gig in town. So we're here at Beer Sessions Radio every Tuesday, 5 o'clock. On Heritage Radio Network. All right, so we're talking about Freaktoberfest, the event that is probably getting better every year, I think, Patrick.
It gets the lineup more and of beer is amazing every year. Our lineup this year is really, really fantastic, and you know, we're gonna post it online as soon as the show is done. As I said earlier in the show, I wanted to try and do it before we got here today, but. I was very busy with work. So as soon as we get done, we're going to post it on Facebook. We have the New York City chapter of Smutty Nose. So it's Smutty Nose New York City chapter. And then I'm going to, you know, I'll make sure that it gets on all the other sites too.
All right. So Matt, tell us about, so you've been involved with Freaktoberfest since the beginning too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was originally Pat and Ben wanted to do a beer festival, and you know, we had just, you know, we've all been to a million beer festivals, and they're great. I mean, they're a great way. There's so much great craft beer. They're a great way for people to taste it. You know, it's so intimidating for a lot of people to walk in and see a wall of, you know, 200 different beers, and they probably usually gravitate towards something they've had before because they don't want to get something they're not going to like. So beer festivals have always been great for that. But, you know, we've done enough of them, I think. Yeah. And, you know, wanted to do something a little different. So, you know, we wanted to make it more of a party with a beer festival attached to it than a beer festival with some entertainment going on in the background. And I think we've, you know, over the years have really honed in on what we want to do. And it's just become a blast. Last year at Southpaw was just epic. It was so much
fun. Really great. Like, I come out of the music industry, and my idea originally was to do music and beer. And then when I ran into Matt that day on the street, and he brought in the whole idea of doing Freaktoberfest and the Coney Island thing, it just brought it to a whole nother level, like the burlesque and everything. It's such a great time.
It'll be fun outside in the sunshine too. That'll be
all right.
Yeah,
let's get back to beer. So we just had this stronger beer. What
we were drinking the Homunculus, the infamous sperm beer from Smutty Nose.
The Homunculus.
What? That's right. I said,
what did I just drink?
Excuse me.
This beer actually has a pretty funny story behind it. I'll try and give you the quick synopsis. So
it tastes a little different.
Dave, the very first short batch that Dave Yarrington made at Smutty Nose was called the Gnome, and I'm not sure exactly what the context was. I've heard the story from several different angles, but he did the beer as a tribute to Achouf in Belgium, because he was a huge fan. And somewhere along the line, he ran into the brewer from Achouf, who I believe commented on the label of the finest kind because it has a gnome on it. And he thanked Dave for promoting his beer, to which Dave replied, "You get to take credit for every gnome on every label." You know, I mean, I guess it was like this little moment. But Dave told him that he brewed this beer as a tribute to him, and asked him if he could use the name because they were thinking about, you know, putting it on a package, to which the brewery from Achouf said absolutely not. He wasn't into it.
So it's Homunculus.
Homunculus is a word, it's an old Latin word that actually means little people, and it refers to the time before they had microscopes. And now the story is going to come full circle here. The common thought of the day was that sperm was actually a little person that came from the man and was put into the woman. So the belief was that men were entirely responsible for reproduction and women had nothing to do with it. And that's what the term homunculus means. It means little person.
All right, I'm going to go out and buy that beer. I'll tell you. You know, it's a little different taste there.
It's an Imperial Belgian IPA. It's about 10%. It's incredibly smooth.
It's starting to sound like a Sex in the City episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, the sperm references, if you look at the label, which we have in front of us, those are the faces of all of our brewers. And they're basically impregnating the bottom of a bottle of beer. Wow. You know.
And you guys passed.
Open your minds, people. Yeah.
You guys passed the label laws. That's pretty good.
I thought that was incredible. Yeah.
That was awesome. All right, now, Tim, let's move quickly because the time's running out.
Okay.
What beer are we drinking? This is the beer we've all been waiting for.
This is the beer we've all been waiting for. This is the Founders Breakfast Stout. It's an 8.3% oatmeal imperial stout brewed with Kona and Sumatra coffee beans, as well as bittersweet dark chocolate. And I actually brought some Sumatra coffee beans for us to pair with this beer, as well as some green blacks. Dark chocolate made with espresso. So if you guys want to try, pass these around. All right. And kind of enjoy these.
So why are you pairing us with these two foods when we're drinking beer?
Well, basically, I thought it might be a good pairing, you know, to accompany with this beer, being that those are two components that beer is made with. And I love doing beer dinner events. We're actually doing a couple of different beer brunch events this season with the breakfast stout. And our national release date for draft is September 21st, and we're going to be doing an event over at the farm on Adderley down in the
Cartel. Chocolate.
You're chewing the chocolate. Okay. That? Yeah, I can hear that. That sounds good. It's a restaurant called Farm on Adderley. We're doing two seating beer brunch over there in October. And
what kind of foods will you do for that?
The menu is still being kind of envisioned by the chef. So, but I'm assuming, you know, something sort of maybe you could do a breakfast burrito with a mole sauce, something like that, you know.
Wow. One thing for me when I pair into food and beer pairings, mm-hmm. sometimes I look for a contrast rather than the same pairing, because like this is great. I just had the chocolate and the coffee bean, and yep. it's so good. It almost takes over from the beer flavor. So maybe I'd have something neutral. Maybe I'd just have bread. Maybe like chocolate and bread.
Sure.
Or, right, or a little fruit or cheese. Food and beer pairing is interesting. And I think, Tim, next time you're on, let's do it. We'll get more into it.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
I got a feeling you're probably pretty good at that.
I've done a lot of them so far. And, there's really no wrong way to do it. I think you could do more of a juxtaposition. If you have a spicy food, you have something hoppy that can accentuate the spice. If you have something malty, that can kind of diminish it a little bit and kind of coat it.
Girl Scout cookies.
There you go. Yeah. I've heard of that being
done. For me, it was whenever I heard about food and beer pairing, it was always like you take like a strong English barley wine and pair it with like Stilton. And then together in your mouth, you'd get like a different flavor, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you'd have like, you know, maybe a real sour goose with like some type of, you know, Belgian, you know, beef stew or even a spicy dish. And again, together it would like offset the sourness, offset the richness.
Sure.
You know?
I love that, all those ideas. But for me, when it comes to like a stout, an imperial stout, like an oatmeal stout the way this is, or we do an imperial stout that's a little bit more, a lot of different malts and things like that, it's more about indulgence. And I've been known to take a Founder's Porter and pour it over a scoop of vanilla ice cream to accentuate all those sweet, you know, for those more rich kind of.
I'm down with you, but I'm actually just
beers.
I'm just enjoying. So this is what the Founder's what beer again?
This is the Founder's Breakfast Stout.
The breakfast. I'm enjoying this all by itself.
Okay, yeah. Nice. All
yeah,
right.
It's pretty good.
More chocolate and coffee.
So September 21st, a bunch of you will get that.
I have to chime in here, man. That Imperial Stout that Founder's makes is awesome. I think that's my favorite beer that you guys
make. I agree. That's my favorite stout we make, actually. Yeah. You know, a lot of people know us for our Kentucky Breakfast Stout and also the Canadian Breakfast Stout, which is the maple bourbon barrel version of that beer. But I'm totally 100% on the same page with you, Pat. The Imperial Stout is...
I'll put in for the Harvest, the fresh hop beer.
That beer is great.
That's what I want, right?
I'm going to save one for you, Jim.
All right. One last beer. Matt, taste us on one of the Hebrews.
All right. We're going to taste the Hop Mana. And interestingly enough, with the IPA craze that exists, we've been around for 16 years. And this is the first single IPA we've ever made. So we started this last year. We did a few test batches, different recipes, and kind of got feedback from people. And then came upon this recipe. It's dry hopped with Cascade, Centennial, and Citra, about 6.5%, 65 IBUs. But it's gotten a lot of good response so far.
What do you think, Patrick? Patrick, when you worked at the gate, you worked there for a long time. You know, so you've been on both sides.
I was there for 12 years, and you know, I want to give a shout out to my boy Bobby Gagnon, actually, who I was hoping would be on the show with me today. Or hopefully on the show someday down the line, because he really was like my beer mentor, along with Dave Broderick and a lot of other people. I think it's fantastic.
So do you like this IPA?
Yeah.
Tim, do you like it?
Let's see. I'm still got chocolate in the mouth here. Let me do a rinse.
Yeah, I'm rinsing my mouth with the IPA as I go along.
Oh, yeah. It's very floral. Mm-hmm. What are the hops that we're going on here?
It's dry hopped with Centennial, Cascade, and Citra.
Okay.
It's good. It's citrusy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has a little bit of floral nose, and then that citrus thing on the palate there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's pop the other one, too.
Yeah, I was I'm curious about that.
Yeah, the other beer I brought is called Reunion. And Terrapin has been doing this beer for a while. It's a fundraiser for melanoma and bone cancer research. And they've done it with a few different breweries. We've done it with them the past 2 years. This is Reunion Ale 12. And Terrapin does a batch down there. We do a batch up here. So they're slightly different if you're somewhere like Philly where you can get both and do them side by side. Same idea, but slightly different. So this is it's an Imperial Brown Ale with cocoa, cinnamon, and vanilla, and a little bit of hot pepper.
Oh, so this is different. You guys do this year to year? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so this is a brand new
so
one.
So it's a collaboration with the same breweries, but different
yeah, we do it with Spike from Terrapin.
All right. You know, I've never had Terrapin other than these collaborations.
Yeah, they make good stuff, man.
Have you been down there?
I have not been to the... I've not been to the brewery, but...
They do a really nice Imperial Rye. I had that when I was down in Atlanta last
year. They're fun guys, man. I partied with them out in California at Lagunitas one year.
Cool. They're so this down. Is kind of vanilla-y, right? It's like a little vanilla.
This one actually turned out really chocolatey. Last year, it was a lot more hot pepper. This one definitely is more on the chocolatey side.
It's got a nice spice to it, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, Patrick, what's your favorite beer from today? I'm going to put you on the spot again.
I'd have to say God, I hate being put on the spot like this.
They're all delicious.
Yeah, they're all great.
Which is why...
Smutty Pumpkin is something that I look forward to every year. I'm going to plug my own company. I really do. I mean, even before I worked for them, I looked for that beer. There was a couple year period where I would just drink that beer with every meal that I had from like the time it came out in August until they ran out in like late September, you know. I love it. I love that beer.
You know, it turns your homunculus orange.
Homunculus.
I mean, what's so cool
that's
though?
That's a good word, isn't it?
What's so cool though is just, you know, sitting here and, you know, we make, you know, 14 beers a year. Everybody makes so many, and we just brought a couple, but it's amazing just to sit here and have, you know, just six samples, and they're all wildly different, and super creative and super cool, and that's why it's so awesome to be in this industry.
And if you come out on Saturday, you could have, you know, 60 of them.
So give us the last plug. Tell us about what's going on Saturday one more time.
Well, okay, so we have, we have 40-plus breweries coming. It's in a really, really awesome venue. We have three really fantastic bands that I wanted to talk about really quick if I can. The opening band opened the show last year. They're called Green Lotus Project. It's a sax-driven band, and they're really, really fun party band. We have a two-piece band that's a local band called Courtesy Tear, and they're kind of like a White Stripes like slash Stevie Ray Vaughan, like burning like Americana rock and roll. And then the third band is a band from Virginia called LB Brass. They're a 12-piece brass and percussion band that does like a bunch of originals, but they also do popular tunes, sing-alongs. You got tons of beer. Greenwood Park has really great food that's not included in the price, but, you know.
Yeah, like what? What kind of food do they have?
Everything. Yeah, why don't you talk about that for a second?
Food, just burgers, hot dogs, sausage and peppers, amazing fries, onion rings, basically a standard bar menu, great wings.
Like fresh cut fries, fresh battered onion rings, all locally sourced from Brooklyn
it's American.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting warmed up for the election, that's why. These ideas about your favorite football team and your favorite beer. We're going to do an election night special in November here. I think we're going to do I'm speaking out of turn and the producers might shut me down, but I'm going to be here election night and we're going to do a show. We're going to tie in beer and politics.
And then we got Donnie Vomit and the Coney Island Sideshow. We have Burlesque. And it's $60 for all you can drink for 5 hours. You get all the entertainment for that $60. I think it's the best value in
awesome.
The city.
Best and so and one reason it's happening again, it's New York City, what was formerly New York Craft Beer Week, is being renamed New York City Beer Week, and it's moving to February. So all of the everyone's out there asking me. I'm getting emails all the time. What's going on for New York Craft Week? Well, the story is
freaktoberfest.com.
February. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And get your ticket now because we had to turn a bunch of people away last year, and we don't want that to happen.
And one September 21st.
September 21st. Well, I will definitely be at Freaktoberfest this year. I will say, and I'll be pouring some stuff from Founders. I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, September 21st is the nationwide launch date for Breakfast Stout. Yeah. We have around 100 launch parties that are going on around New York City, all over the boroughs, so and out on the island too, and up in Westchester County. That's the territory I cover. So, and Jimmy's number 43 will be one of them participating.
All right, thank you. Okay, and one more event coming up. Our friends at the Village Voice in New York City, their second annual Brooklyn Pour on Saturday, October 6th. Go to goodbrewsteel.com for more information. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. You can friend us on Facebook and also follow us at @beer_sessions. Thanks to Pat, Matt, I got to make sure everybody's in the room, Tim, and Alberto. But Mikey, the guy from Southpaw, didn't make
Alberto,
it.
Alberto.
And thanks to everybody at Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, engineer Joe Galarraga, who's really awesome. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Cheers.
The fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Vodka puts my mouth in gear. This little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
He likes beer.
My wife often frowns.